Our text today starts off in the book of Kings. And when the Lord's prophet, the story behind the story is that the Lord's prophet had been called to go to the king to tell the king who had strayed away from the word of God that God was not going, that there would be no rain coming until they changed their ways, until they would return to God. The king had built a temple to the false god Baal, and had built altars to him, and was worshiping idols. And so, because of this, God's prophet went to the king and said, "There's not going to be any more rain until you return to worship the one true God." And there was no rain. And so even the prophet had no water or food. And God led him and told him to go to the woman and tell him, a woman he would meet in the city, and tell her that he needed a drink of water. And there was a well there, so she went to get some water. And when she started for that, he told her to get him some bread. Of course, you heard the story. There was no bread. That she only had a bit of flour left that she had planned to gather some sticks around and make some bread for her and her son. And then they would die because there was nothing left. Without the rain, there was no olives, so there was no oil. Without the rain, there was no wheat, and so no bread, no grain. And Elijah went to her and told her that as long as she did as he told her to do and brought him some bread, that her jar of oil would never run out, her jar of flour would never be empty. And so it was. But then tragedy came to her, even though God had blessed her with this bounty, and she had seen the evidence that this prophet was from God, in that her whole household had plenty to eat. Her son became ill and died, and the first thing that came out of her mouth was, why have you brought this evil upon our household? She blamed it on the prophet and thereby his God. This woman was obviously a woman of God before the prophet ever met her, because she declared the name of God when she told him that she had nothing to make him bread with. But the prophet went and asked God and begged God, and the boy was restored to life. We read it in the book of Psalms, the crying out of David as he lamented over the feeling of absence that he was left when God seemed to have turned his back on him, and the feeling of joy that he had in new life that he experienced when once again he felt the grace of God. And now we've read in the book of Galatians where Paul is giving a witness, a testimony to his life with Jesus Christ. Paul was telling the Galatians the word that I gave you didn't come, it wasn't something that I made up, and so the next guy that comes along makes up a word, you're going to listen to them. He said, the word I gave you came directly from Jesus Christ. He said, what I told you wasn't what I've been taught in all my years of study as a rabbi. Don't you remember Paul studied under the greatest rabbi teacher of that day? Paul declared that he was the most zealous. He was the most cranked up, wound up Jew you'd ever met, going out to proclaim. He did not say, I was going out to proclaim the word of God. What he said, I was teaching the traditions of my elders, of the elders. And this is, of course, the problem. This is the problem when people come and teach religion instead of the word of God. And so what Paul is saying is that these people are trying to teach them the Jewish religion, the Jewish tradition, as opposed to the word of God as revealed through Jesus Christ and as revealed through the prophets. Paul is telling them that none of what he has been taught, none of what he has been teaching them, none of what he has been proclaiming to them came from man, but it came in a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into Paul's life that was seething and hating the Christians, or the people of the way as they were known. And he was going out and persecuting them with great enthusiasm until he encountered Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and was struck down by Christ. And he was brought to a whole new life. Paul was born again. Just as we see God has the power to restore physical bodies, God has the power to restore life, as we've seen so many examples in the Bible. Restoring life to a human being certainly makes the people around us happy. But it's the life, that is not the life that is truly important to God. I heard it said that when we all eventually pass and we are buried, and on our tombstone we'll say our date of birth and a dash and our date of death. It's the dash that matters. It's the dash that matters. It's how we live our life for God that matters. It's how we worship God that matters. It's how we live between those dates, whether they're far apart and with many, many decades, or whether they are only a very short time. It's that dash that really matters. It has been said that that if those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are as close today to heaven as they ever will be while they're alive. Those who do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, while they live on this earth, are as close to hell as we ever will be. It's the dash that matters. It's how we live this life that matters to God and matters to our eternal life. It's how we trust in Jesus, as we sang in the song. We put our trust in Jesus and our confidence in Him. It's relying on Him instead of ourselves. Paul said, I'm not relying on my words. I'm not relying on the words of man. I'm relying on the words of Jesus Christ. And that's what each and every one of us must do, is to put our trust in Jesus Christ and to have faith in Him and trust Him to lead us through each and every day. Not to lead us on Sundays or to lead us at special services, but to lead our everyday lives, the dash between the start and stop dates. That's what he's asking of us. When we talk about being born again, the second birth The birth to a life in Jesus Christ is an entirely different life. When we are born the first time, having four children and 10 grandchildren and one great-granddaughter, I can tell you that you do a lot of nurturing of your children, that you do the very best that you can to raise them in the way of the Lord, that you do everything that you can to teach them. But don't you know that as good a job as we try to do as parents, as much nurture and teaching and how we try to lead them in the ways of the Lord, when you're born again, the nurturing comes through the Holy Spirit. The nurturing comes from other Christians. The nurturing comes from other disciples. The nurturing comes from the Lord. And so the second life is not a repeat of the first life. The second life is a totally different life with a whole different set of leadership and nurturing. It is the leadership of Jesus Christ. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It is the worship of God, the loving of God, and the turning our lives over to God that makes all the difference in the world. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. Used to drive my parents crazy. We used to sing a song that said, a rabbit ain't got no tail at all, tail at all, tail at all. A rabbit ain't got no tail at all, just a powder puff. Same song, second verse, should be better, but it's going to be worse. A rabbit ain't got no tail at all. And on it went, over and over. A lot of people live their lives that way every day. Same song, second verse, should be better, but it's going to be worse. And a life in Jesus Christ is simply not like that. It's certainly not intended to be like that. If we are Christians that are living our lives as the same song, second verse, and not living in the great hope. You heard the joy that David had, the hope that David had. You heard him talk about how different it was when he walked in the ways that God was leading him. You heard Paul talk about how different his life and how miserable he was before and how different it was. Our lives living in Jesus Christ have to be very different lives. Your eternity begins when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Your eternity does not begin when you die. Your eternity begins when you give your life to Jesus Christ. You are living in God's kingdom. You are living in your eternity, eternal life. We need to keep that in mind. We need to understand that this is about the Lord. This is about the God. This is about the Creator. And that we need to go at this life with enthusiasm, with purpose. We need to live our lives intentionally. Not reacting to the world, but rejoicing in the Lord. Amen.